Canadian Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, Jim Thorne.
Good evening and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, another edition, this beautiful Sunday, the 23rd of February, 2020.
Four more days of this stuff.
Oh, man. Bring it on. Tomorrow's supposed to be even better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Like 47, 48?
Got a little spring fever.
It's coming.
Looking around the camp tonight, Norm Plord, as you can tell, is in large and in charge. Over in the
good evening,
the big engineer room behind the bulletproof glass.
We need that glass.
Yeah. What'd you do today, Norm? Did you get out at all?
I went for a walk in the swamps.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. A lot of turkey meandering around and some coyote rabbits, but a lot of turkeys.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of deer lately.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a lot over the winter, but we've seen tracks, but we've seen a lot of deer.
I actually saw one today. Come across Route 9 in Hamden, about two cars ahead of me. Oh, probably about 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Huh.
Kind of really surprised me. I didn't see it coming. I was like, wow.
You got the fish warden of Fields Pond there with you?
Yes, I do.
Jim Layton, stand up and take a bow, Jim.
Hello, folks. Welcome aboard. Got a couple of comments, if you'll allow.
Oh, we always allow, Jim.
Well, one of them is we have plenty of deer around my house, maybe too many. We have four or five that seem to linger there all the time.
Mm.
And they like to eat flowers and everything in the summertime, so
gardens.
I wish they could back out into the woods and eat their own forage.
Mm.
The other thing I would like to suggest is that if anybody's listening that fishes out on Fields Pond,
Even if they don't fish out on
Fields
Pond.
Even if they don't fish out there. The people that I saw fishing today are all fishing in the wrong place. I didn't see very many flags.
So you're saying for a small fee you could lead them in the right direction?
I can. I'd like to see some of those white perch taken out of there and some of the big trout that are in there and bass.
Ooh, let them grow some. Yeah, that sounds good.
If you're on Fields Pond and you look over towards the further side of the island towards the Fields Pond Road, you'll see a house there with a red roof. You go out about 50 to 100 feet out front of that and over to the right of it where the stream comes in, and I'll guarantee you're going to have many flags, many flags. But everybody fishes all the way on the other side and way out away from the point where what they call the island, they should be right up to within 50 feet of the island, right on the front of it. But everybody seems to fish over along the further shore or right out in the middle, and I've never caught a fish there in my life on Fields Pond, ever.
Well, the secret's out.
I'd like to see them fish where they're going to have flags.
There's the best advice I've heard all night right here.
Especially if you're bringing kids, you got to have flags
for
kids.
Yep, yep. Kids
all right.
The pups.
Well, also in the camp with us, you heard me last weekend, and I teased a little bit. I said we were going to have a guest on tonight that once ran for Maine governor twice. And I talked to some people over the week, and I said, well, there's a lot of people that fit that category, actually. But the one that I'm talking about is with us tonight, all the way from Gorham, Maine, down in southern Maine, Mr. Sean Moody. Hello, Sean.
Jim, thanks for having me on tonight, Norm, and You know, the Jim, that's a great line, saying, I've never seen anybody catch a fish in your favorite fishing hole. I never heard that before. That's reverse psychology.
Jim, I want you to know Sean was writing down pretty frantically when you were giving those.
I just needed a heading. At that.
He's looking for what you're using for bait.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad that you came up. Glad that you got to spend the day up here in the greater Bangor area. We had the weather sent in just for you.
Yeah, so
you
it's could beautiful. Enjoy it. Good day for a road trip.
And you have your beautiful bride back at the hotel.
Yes. Yeah.
She's what, getting room service and her toenails painted and a massage and all that?
I don't know about the toenails and massage, but hopefully she'll have something to eat when I get back there.
Room service. Well, glad to have you tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things with Sean. A lot of things that I know you probably don't know about Sean. And he is a businessman, an entrepreneur, an outdoorsman, and like I say, former gubernatorial candidate, and so much more. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him about the great Maine outdoors and also some issues that are facing different Maine sportsmen when it comes to how Maine does their lurk and corridors. We're going to touch on that a little bit, just kind of get another side of it. But first, let's go to tonight's Outdoor Digest. Tonight's Outdoor Digest is brought to you this week and every week by my favorite outdoor publication, the Northwoods Sporting Journal.
Fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting, fishing, loving every day. Early in the morning.
All right. Well, today is Sunday, February 23rd, 2020. We had a sunrise this morning at 6:23 a.m. and sunset was at 5:13 p.m., which makes our length of day 10 hours and 50 minutes, which is an increase of 2 hours since our shortest day back in December. So 2 hour gain, nothing wrong with that at all.
Love it. You gotta love Keep it.
Sun's getting higher.
Mm-hmm.
Roads are getting wet. Snowbanks are melting.
That's a great time.
We're gonna get some point here when the snow's all gone, and I think it's going to be an early spring. That's what everybody keeps pointing to, because we don't have much of a snowpack down here to worry about.
Unless so. You're up north.
Meanwhile, up north, they're still snow sledding and snowmobiling, and they got another shot of snow coming later this week. So we'll make sure they get it.
That's a good place for it.
That's right. Let's see. The last full moon was on February 9th. That was the snow moon. Our next full moon is March 9th, coming right up, not too far away, a little over 2 weeks away. That'll be the worm moon. And then following that will be April 7th, the pink moon. And speaking of March 9th, on March 8th, Sunday, daylight savings time begins. That's 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from tonight. And I happen to see on the weather forecast this today, earlier on the TV, they had a little chart about average temperature, average high temperatures. And today was 37 degrees. And then when you get to March 8th, the average high is 40. Then when you get to March 24th, the average high is 45. Then when you get to April 6th, it's 50 degrees. And then shortly after tax day, April 15th, the average high is 55. So that's not that far away when we look at it in those terms, tax day. So
time to order your seeds, folks.
That's right. ice fishing derbies are running rampant. Of course, last weekend was the free fishing weekend for everybody. We were up to Island Falls. I had my grandson hook a lip on a salmon and pull it up through. He was pretty excited about that.
Wow, that's exciting.
We had to explain to him that it had to be 14 inches to keep, so we had to put it back down the hole. He said he's going to catch it later on this year. And he was serious. Let's see. Sportsman shows. This weekend was the Springfield, Massachusetts, down in the Big E down there. That was where Vic and Dave and Mike Georgia were, pulling in all the sportsmen down there. Orono is coming up March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Followed by Presque Isle Sportsman Show Saturday and Sunday, March 21st and 22nd. And then the Augusta Sportsman Show is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 27th, 28th, 29th. And Norm?
The Cabin Fever Reliever coming up this next weekend.
Next weekend.
29th and the 1st of March. Brewer Auditorium, no admission, great time, many vendors. It's a great place to bring your kids. And, you know, they also have snacks. So if you're hungry, you can get stuff there. But, you know, kids can get to shoot. I believe they have a BB gun range that they've had for a few years, number of years now. Archery, and yeah, it's a really good place to stop in. Yep. So Saturday and Sunday, no admission. Bring the family. It's
good event to get out to.
It's a great event. Yeah.
Spend a couple hours.
Well, it's a really good event.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a trivia question, and Sean is going to be kind enough to read our trivia question for us tonight.
Jim, it's how many governors has Maine had? And I'm assuming that's from my birthday.
From the start.
Like 200 years ago.
That's right. How many governors has Maine had? If you think you know the answer to that, give us a call. 1-800-966-1039. We will be right back after this brief message. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne. My guest tonight is a former gubernatorial candidate, Maine businessman and entrepreneur and outdoorsman, Sean Moody. Made the trip all the way up from Gorham. I want to remind everybody you're listening to us on WVOM 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 FM Augusta, and 95.1 FM in Rockland. And if you have a question for Sean tonight or you want to talk about anything in the Maine outdoors, give us a call, 1-800-966-1039. And also want to remind everybody our podcasts are available if you go to WVOMFM.com. In fact, last Sunday's show with Chris Drew is actually loaded up there now. So if you want to listen
that's
to last
record.
Yeah, if you want to listen to WVOM has been doing a great, fantastic job on keeping those current because we know that there's people that are want to listen to it outside of the listening area, and we haven't got the live stream thing going up as of yet, so that's another venture. But the podcasts allow those folks that are outside the listening area to listen in, and with today's Facebook and social media and so forth, there's a lot of people that are interested in listening. So, Norm, did we have somebody that thinks
they
know the
answer? We have a
couple
callers. Here's caller number one.
Caller, are you there?
I am.
And what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Claire, and I'm calling from Owl's Head tonight.
Oh, okay. All the snow gone down there in Owl's Head tonight?
Almost.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's very crunchy.
Yeah. That's usually the first place that we head is for the coast where we know there's no snow. And it's just kind of get a taste of the feel of having no snow on a nice warm day. So.
Oh, I know. I love the snow, but I think we're lucky.
You are. Yeah. Well, Claire, do you think you know the answer to our question? And our question was, Sean, if you'll remind everybody what our trivia question was.
Sure. How many governors has Maine had?
Well, if my source is right, it says 75.
What do you think, Sean?
I think she's right on.
75. You're right, Claire.
Google is wonderful.
Hey, Claire.
Yeah.
I don't care how you got the answer. I'd be one of those teachers, you know. I don't care how you got the answer. You got the correct answer.
I
you know
Google
it
all the time.
That's all we're about here on Maine Outdoors, just learning something.
Who says you can't believe the internet?
That's right.
Oh, I know. I feel like I cheated, but thank you. I'm honest.
That's right. Exactly.
And I did learn a few different things there. That there were a couple one-day governors just for whatever reason,
really?
Because there was a governor that resigned early so he could go on to his U.S. Senate position.
Huh. Wow.
And when he resigned, the president of the Senate became governor for a day before somebody else got inaugurated as governor. So there were a couple instances of that and 70 different people. So, yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
All kinds of good information. And, of course, coming up on March 15th is our 200th birthday anniversary of Maine, of being incorporated as a state. So March 15th will be 200 years for Maine. So we have a lot of different bicentennial things going on for the state of Maine across the state. I actually got a bicentennial plate on the front of my truck just because I thought it looked snazzy and had the Maine Deergo logo and all that good stuff on it. So celebrate all year long. Well, all right, Claire, thank you for your answer. You're correct.
What does Claire win? Does she win anything, or is it just the recognition of getting it right?
There's always something that I leave out, isn't there? Thank you, Sean, for picking up on that. Claire, do you ever read the Northwoods Sporting Journal?
I do.
You do? Do you have a subscription currently?
I don't.
Well, you do now.
That's a great gift.
Right.
How's that?
Yeah,
we're gonna hook you up with a 1-year subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal. I happen to be looking right now at the March issue, and for those of you that have a subscription, you're probably looking at it too. And if you don't, you can go to sportingjournal.com on our website, and there's a place on there when you can actually look at it on digitally and look that up. We have a brand new website. Sportingjournal.com, and all kinds of good fun things on there, and good stories. Right now on the cover of March is Carol Ware. Do a shout out to Carol. He set another fishing record. He's now in the Hall of Fame, Fishing Hall of Fame, Hall of Famer Carol Ware, and he's one of our contributing writers. So if you happen to don't get the subscription and you see it on the newsstand, you see a guy holding a big trout on the front cover. That's Carol Ware, and I suggest you pick it up. So, well, Claire, anything else going on in your world you'd like to talk about with us tonight?
Oh, I'll just sit back and listen. I can always call in again if something's weak.
All right, don't hang up. I'm going to give you to Norm. Norm's going to get all your information so we can get that subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And I wanted to do a shout-out while I have the moment right now. Ben MacArthur out there in Alexander, I did not forget about you. I've been looking for my book. I just found it today, my Mastic book that I had, so I'll mail that out to you this week. So Ben MacArthur out there in Alexander, you hold tight. Your Mastic book's coming your way from last weekend. And Claire, thank you again for listening. I'll give you to Norm. All right. Well, if you're just joining us, my guest this evening is Sean Moody. Sean, I did say that we would get to the point where we wouldn't be able to talk about everything. The show is almost half over, and we haven't had a chance to really talk.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to mention to Claire, I had the privilege of speaking at the Owl's Head Transportation Museum. They had the graduation for the Mid-Coast School of Technology, their Career Tech Center, and I'll tell you, it is so cool seeing what hopefully will be our next future tradesmen and women that we so desperately need. Chrissy and I have really been pushing this across the whole state. We're doing ads, and we founded this Maine Blue Collar Scholarship back in 2012, I think it was. And this year we're set up with the help of Bath Iron Works, Chinbro, Harbison Plumbing. There's a lot of other business partners. We're going to give away $100,000 in scholarships just for men and women, young men and women that are going into the trades.
Well, there.
All across the state, from Fort Kent right down to Wells.
That's fantastic. Sounds like you have some good backing and good, strong build up the trades industry in Maine.
So important, Jim. You know, it's just an area where we kind of took our eye off that. It was talked about for so long. You got to go to college, you're not going to mount anything. And that pool of, you know, replenishing that pool of tradespeople now. You know, go to college or bust. Now they're coming out of college busted, you know, wondering what happened. And so we're really on a crusade here to raise awareness and just let people know these are viable, lucrative careers.
Oh.
You know, a lot of gratifying work, you know, working with your hands. That's how I started. And that, I'll tell you, that lifted me out of poverty.
And you know, you and I have not talked about this, but, you know, when I was in the Air Force as a recruiter, I joined the Air Force right out of high school. And of course, we took the ASVAB test, the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, and showed your strengths and your weaknesses and so forth. Well, I can remember Les Smith was my recruiter, and he was trying to push me to, you know, all these mechanical jobs. I don't want to be mechanical. I don't want electronics, all these trade things. Looking back on it now, I wish I would have gone into one of those fields so that that would serve me for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
You know, even if it's just on a personal level or whether I wanted to go into business on my own or whether I wanted to work for somebody, that can never do you wrong. And, of course, that's something that, you know, hopefully the young people will understand if we tell them and talk to them about it, is that we understand there's different people that have different callings.
Yeah, different
gifts. And we don't know what our callings
and skills
are.
And I think that's what we're really trying to do, is kind of remove that stigma, you know, call it occupational quality, you know, call it whatever you'd like. But the reality is, you know, that's there's nothing any more gratifying than, you know, building something or repairing something, fixing something, inventing something, you know, fabricating something. So I would just encourage all the folks out there. We're really trying to get to guidance counselors, you know, educators, to say, hey, look, you know, we're passionate. We know you're passionate about education, but that doesn't stop in the classroom. You know, people go out into the trades, very highly technical fields, you know, whether they run in a manufacturing CNC machine or even in our world, you know, running the spray booth equipment. It's all automated now. It's all computer generated and driven. So those jobs and those career opportunities, there's way more. I think there's something like 5,000 unfilled trades jobs right now in the state of Maine. And it's only, they only project that's going to continue to grow. So just giving a pitch out there for all the folks. Oh, and and those are the work hard, play hard Mainers that we are. You know, they're out snowmobiling.
Those are the ones you see out in the fields, and they're out hunting. They're out
exactly
fishing.
Jim.
And they got a little bit of jingle in their pocket. They got a good career, which
that's
everybody knows right now. Everything from HVAC to electrical work, plumbing, building trades.
We even consider, we give scholarships even to law enforcement, you know, emergency medical service. We're covering the gambit because those are blue-collar jobs. They really are.
Well, we're going to take another quick break and do a commercial, and then when we come back, we'll talk some more with Sean Moody, businessman, entrepreneur, former gubernatorial candidate, and outdoorsman, after these messages. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne. You're listening to us tonight on WVOM 103.9 FM Bangor, 101.3 FM Augusta, 95.1 FM in Rockland, and also podcasting on WVOMFM.com. Just click on the Maine Outdoors link, and you'll get all the podcasts from our previous shows. If you have a question for us, my guest tonight is Sean Moody, former gubernatorial candidate. 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. And Sean and I were talking about, of course, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I'm a candidate for state representative this year. And for the last few years, I've been involved in politics to some degree. And Sean and I were just talking about the first time that we met. You were running for governor.
That's right.
And you were making your northern swing up through. We had a candidates forum at the Lincoln Day dinner for the Penobscot County GOP over at Penobscot Valley Country Club.
Jim, I can remember that just like it was yesterday. You're a prominent figure. You got a great radio voice. I don't know if anybody's told you that.
I got a great face. I got a great face for radio.
Have to get a bigger door. Get him out of here. No, but when you approached me, when you approached me, Jim, you kind of caught my eye there. You were sitting relatively in the front, and after we get done all our, you know, the evening, you approached me and asked me a few questions on some issues, and I remember you said you should have a American flag pinel, lapel, whatever. And I says, you know, I don't have one with me. And you look down at yours. You know what? You ought to have one just like this. And then, being the guy you are, next thing I know, you took that off and you said, you know what? I want you to have this one right here. And I still got that on my bureau. I wore that to every forum and debate, everything else. That was your flag.
And you wore it well. I just wish you would have brought your word. We have a caller on the line.
There you
right
do.
Now. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Jack from Rockwood.
All right.
Hi, Jack. That's familiar ground up there. How you doing, Jack?
Good, good. I was just hoping that you would get in so we could get some pavement up here.
Believe me, I'm disappointed as you are, Jack. I'll tell you.
Oh, geez, I am too. But I came down from Jackman. And, it's quite a ride.
Yeah. Sometimes better off they just take all the tar off and make it a good gravel road, huh?
They just rip it up and grade it once a week.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's something that's plagued Maine for many, many years now, and I think it's only going to get worse because we're a state of 1.3 million people, and we're trying to run the infrastructure for a state that's so large and so vast that, you know, as things exponentially get more and more expensive, like the minimum wage increases and the cost for materials. And
you know, the way I look at it, Jim and Jack, is kind of like as wealth passes its way down. You know, somebody worked hard, saved their money, invested it, lived very frugally, and they give that down to the kids, and then they give that down to the grandkids. It's kind of like Maine. You know, 200 years, we're going to celebrate a birthday. We built Maine, and now we can't take care of it. Think about that. It'd be like someone giving you a home, giving it to you, but you can't shingle the roof. You can't keep, you know what I mean? It's a shame that we're in this position. It really is.
I've talked to people from contractors from like Pike and stuff. You know, they're only giving them so much per mile. Do half as much and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've definitely gone to that. They call it skinny mix, call it whatever you want, but it's basically painting the road. And we all know that that's just a short term Band-Aid, and 2-3 years broke right up again. So I don't think they've done hardly any road reconstruction, which is obviously very expensive with drainage and everything. But until you get the road lifted up out of the water table, it's going to heave.
I was just going to say, you can't have the ditches higher than the road.
Right. That's a good first step. Yeah, I don't know if you knew it, Jack, but we've been going up to Rockwood for 40 years. My brother's got a camp right on 15 going to Jackman. It's called Stumble In. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
And, of course, I drive by all the time.
Yeah, Chrissy and I actually bought a property up there two falls ago, 511 Jackman Road there. So if you're going in, you swing by and see us sometime.
No doubt about it. I will. Yeah.
Well, Jack.
I wish I came in earlier, but I will. I'd love to talk to you. Mm. You know, no doubt about it.
All right. Anything else on your mind tonight, Jack?
No. Busy up here this weekend. With the fishermen and stuff, which is good for the economy up here. That's what it is.
Yeah. I just saw where Maine did $60 million snowmobilers bring to Maine every year.
I'll tell you, riding up here today, it was unbelievable, the amount of trailers and, you know, snowmobiles in the back of trucks. And it was a steady flow coming south.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that was $660 million.
Yeah, $660 million.
That is unbelievable.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Chrissy and I went snowmobiling last night right around our house there, and Gorman, we went out for a couple hours, and the trails are pretty good. I mean, you know, it's tough down our area. You know, in the southern area, the state's gotten so congested, you know, that kind of that suburban straw. There used to be 13 dairy farms in Gorham when I grew up, and now there's only two. But they put the subdivisions in, and nobody really talks about or thinks about leaving those snowmobile trails, you know, right-of-ways or something to provide access. So we've had to go kind of door-to-door to try to rebuild some of these snowmobile trails in our own hometown because there's subdivisions are everywhere.
Only takes one link to break, right?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, I understand completely. I, I have a place in Rockwood. I have a place in Lisbon, and you can't leave Lisbon anymore and go snowmobiling.
No.
Take a chainsaw with you, Jack. You'd be surprised.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, Jack. We appreciate you calling in.
No, I will stumble in sometime.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, good.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Bye. Well, we're coming in loud and clear up in Rockwood. Must be a clear night bouncing off the stars and the satellites. So.
I got a couple friends I want to say hi to, if Jim's all right.
Sure. Do a shout out.
Rod and Jan Fowler up there in Beaver Cove. He helped us. He was working for LUPC, what used to be LURC. And that was kind of his territory up there. So we bought that property at 4 or 5 dilapidated camps right down on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And there was kind of a technicality. I didn't realize this, but if they were cabins, a cabin is not a dwelling. You know, there's no water, no running water. So there's nothing's grandfathered under that clause. So basically, you got to just take the cabin down. You can't replace it.
I see.
But where it had indoor plumbing, originally they were logging camps, it's considered a dwelling. Mm-hmm. So we're able to kind of consolidate the square footage along the water, and we're going to be able to build tore them all down, Christy and I. And,
keep the original footprint.
Yeah, we're gonna be able to build a nice, one camp there when we get done. So
and
I
that's
say,
changed over the years.
Thank
I know.
Rod for that help.
It used to be you had to keep one wall. And...
No, it's pretty strict. I mean, they get the guidelines there. You're not going to put an inch closer to the water. I mean,
yeah. The first time I remember, we bought our camp 2000. Up Northern Island Falls, and they handed me the LURC package of what you could. And of course, we bought the lot. It was nothing on the lot but trees, so we were starting from scratch. And where we had to build, and what we couldn't cut brush, and how much up the tree, no more than a third, and the path had down to the water had to be no more than 6 feet wide, and had to meander, couldn't be as. I mean, I said.
Sounds like you got your lessons on that.
I remember the highlights, so yeah.
But that's a beautiful area up there, Rockwood and Greenville. We know it well, Sebumic. We've been all through across the Jackman.
Now you
a lot of great people there.
When you were young, where did you go? When
that's where we've been going there for 40 years. Thad, yeah. They bought that camp. I remember that my brother Thad 6 years older than me, so I was and my parents got divorced, and I was like a year old. And my dad moved to Mass, so my mom brought us up, the three of us, and Thad was kind of like a father figure. It was interesting because I wanted to go everywhere with him, and his friends were my friends, but he was kind of like, you tell your mother I'm going to kill you, one of that. So they'd take me. I mean, I learned, BB gun up. We trapped together. That was back when trapping was really prevalent. I mean, we were getting probably $5 to $8 for muskrats, but if you had a fisher. Or some of the coyotes, the foxes, will bring you good money, $40 to $60 a pelt. And I can remember, this is not a funny story for Thad, my brother, but I was just getting into working on cars. I was about 13 or 14, and I painted my first overall paint job. It was on a Volkswagen Beetle, one of the teachers at school. And I put all the, because it dried the, we dried the furs and stuff, so I put them all on the floor. I put a nice piece of poly over the top of them, and I painted that bright yellow, like Volkswagen, like school bus yellow with a straight enamel paint. And that got in there, that overspray get in there. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, I paid for that. I paid dearly for that.
You said, I remember you saying something about you had or have your grandfather's
gun. My grandfather was quite a guy, and he had the biggest bucks of Maine designation there, 224-pound buck.
Yeah.
And he gave me a 32 Winchester. It was pretty special.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
And you still have that today?
I sure do.
All right. Well,
that's priceless.
And
it is, and you think of people talk about gun ownership here in Maine, and they don't have any idea the amount of firearms and guns that have been passed down, through the generations. I've got 4 guns, and every single one of them was passed down to me, and I wouldn't let go of them. Not going to happen,
Yeah. Well, it's time for another commercial. This one is for our friend Al Elkin over in Brewer, and if anybody has any gas or propane appliances or needs any or has to have any service, anything like that, Al is the one to see. He's located over on 91 Center Street in Brewer, and the phone number over there is 989-4341. And I'll have to ask Paul Reynolds at some point, but I think Al Elkin was one of our original sponsors as we are working on, I think we're creeping up on 30 years on the Maine Outdoors, because we always said we are the longest continuously running Maine Outdoors program, radio program. And from everything that I've heard and talked to everybody and seen, we're only gaining in our popularity because of you, the listeners. And Al Elkin is one of those rare gentleman that runs his business based on his reputation of honesty, integrity, and he won't even work on something if he thinks that it doesn't need to be worked on. He's not going to, you know, take something, and if he says you don't need to do that, just need to do this. Or if you live in a remote area and he can't get to you, he'll give you the name of somebody that is in that area. So they deal with all kinds of different appliances, refrigerators, gas stoves, composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
I always try to see if I can sneak that in without him listening.
Jim didn't miss, no, he didn't miss a trick.
It'll never slip by him.
I can't even lull him, but
thrones fit for kings and queens.
That's right. But you go see Al Elkin. He will take care of you no matter what your appliance need is. Gas, lights, service parts, appliances, new and rebuilt gas refrigerators, and even the composting toilets.
That's right.
So Al Elkin over there on 91 Center Street in Brewer, Maine. 989-4341.
Speaking of Queens, Jimmy, I have to wish my wife a happy birthday.
Oh, there.
Tomorrow's her birthday, and I wanted to give her a shout out. It sure is.
You taking her out to dinner?
No, I didn't get her anything.
You taking her out to dinner?
No.
You are now?
No, she's got a card. Yes, hey, I probably
you
am.
We
have
a common thread here. It's just like there's no fish in the lake, right? He said he didn't give her anything.
That's right.
I got a feeling that she's going to get something really nice tomorrow.
Well, she will. She's my sweetheart.
We'll take up a pool before you leave.
Anybody that can put up with me.
Yes, sir. Well, that's all right, Jim. I think you will pull it out.
So I know.
Find a way.
I will.
If you're just joining us tonight, I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne, and my guest is Sean Moody, businessman, entrepreneur, former gubernatorial candidate, and outdoorsman. And we're just talking about anything we can think of here. I first met Sean when he was running for governor back in 2018, and we had a panel. In fact, we were at the Lincoln Day dinner, we called it. And we had a panel of all the gubernatorial candidates, which was yourself, Mary Mayhew, Ken Fredette,
Mike Thibodeau. And Garrett Mason.
Garrett Mason, yeah.
That was a good crop of candidates right there.
Yeah,
a lot of experience.
It was tough at first to go through, but
a good group.
You stood out. I mean, it was something about
you. We came through the primary strong, you know, and going into the general election, I'll tell you, I think if you'll see it, you know, the basically right now, I mean, the Democrats control, right, the House, the Senate, and they won the gubernatorial seat. So it was one of those years where it just swung the last month or so. You could kind of feel it out there that people, you know, they were anti-Trump, anti-LePage, anti-Republican, anti-Collins, and it all kind of hit at the just at the worst time, really.
Yeah.
Plus that way of voting we have now is really crazy.
Yep, that's coming up. That ranked March 3rd.
Well, and that's why I say I had Friday. I had the pleasure of being able to spend the day with former Governor Paul LePage and CD2 candidate, Republican candidate, one of the three, Dale Kraft. He was at
Dale's a great guy.
A luncheon over in Hamden, and then we went up to University of Maine and did a college Republicans. Question-answer session, and then we did the Penobscot County GOP dinner. And, you know, you got to hear a lot of things. And one of the things that, you know, impressed me the most when you were running and I get to talk to you and I, you know, down there at headquarters on election night and, you know, I could sense that things weren't exactly to your liking when you came back in from them. But the experience of everything, and you had, I brought you along to the Eastern Maine Sportsman Show.
Yes.
And we walked around there, and I listened to you, and you genuinely wanted to help the outdoorsmen,
absolutely,
the sportsmen in Maine.
The same endorsement, you know, gun owners of Maine, and, you know, we had a strong support. You know, from outdoorsmen, you know, the motorsports crowd. You talk about snowmobiling and I think it's down to the Maine's heritage, you know, like the blue collar Maine. You know, I kept saying that and I still believe it today. we kind of turn our back on blue collar Maine. You know, that's our heritage. And if you think of the impact that our next generation can have, you see some of these bids coming in way over budget. Mm-hmm. You know, they're delayed because nobody's got enough help.
Right.
So we're really in a labor crisis right now because of our education system that has been so focused on getting people. And believe me, I served on the university system, community college, mm-hmm. so I understand the importance of higher ed. But 40 or 50% of our young kids are not going to college.
Right.
And we're not giving them the same resources, the same set of skills, you know, so they can go out there and make a great living and really raise their family. And
we've allowed that to erode over time. There was a exactly, time when Jim. The trade industries were alive and well, and it was a good, viable occupation to be a plumber, carpenter, yeah. electrician, and so forth.
You know, welder. I mean, manufacturing is so high tech today. We got great relations with our teachers in Gorham, and we're having a hard time getting students to sign up for STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mm-hmm. math. So we convinced 19 educators signed up for this bus tour, and they went down to Pratt Whitney, which is a defense contractor down in southern Maine, IDEX Laboratories, which is a biochemistry, biotech business, and Lanco's Assembly Systems, which is an employee-owned company like Moody's that does robotics and automation. And those teachers came back, and they were blown away. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you know, not kind of getting out of the classroom, they think in a manufacturing is old, dingy, dirty, greasy environments, dimly lit. You know, I would want to recommend that for students.
Right.
They came back like, man, I want to go to work there. This is unbelievable. Mm. High tech, clean rooms, you know, like a hospital style environment.
Right.
So anyway, it's exciting to get people to better understand the career opportunities out there for young people. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I just fully believe, and I've talked with young people all across the state. We won the student mock poll there by a lot. And when I talk to the students, I say, look, you know in your heart what direction you'd like to go in, and maybe the direction you would not like to go in. Don't let someone else live your life for you.
Right.
You know, you're a young adult. Act like it. Think like it. You got decisions to make. You better start getting serious about your future.
Well, because mentorship.
You don't, right?
Mentorship is important and key.
Exactly, Jim.
And we have a caller.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Doing pretty. Hey, I'm calling from Skowhegan.
Okay. How are things in Skowhegan?
Oh, Jesus, top shelf, clear sky, unbelievable. They'll be tapping the trees right off.
Yeah.
My buddies are going to be out there right now fixing the lines.
Sounds good. Home of Carol Ware, isn't
it? What's that?
Isn't Skowhegan home of Carol Ware?
Yeah, I was sitting across from him at Elks Club having a brew here a few days ago. We can't talk about that on the air, can we?
Too late. We already did.
Hey, I got something about that lurk.
Hmm.
Okay, I bought a camp and five, 6 years ago, and on both sides of me, some people been there for a long time, decades, and when I first got there, I got the whole review on lurk and what you can't do and this and that. And I heard my neighbor out there, he'd been there for decades. I mean, he was in his 70s. He's out there whacking away on a couple of trees out front of his house. And I said, my God, you want to spend a few days in Crowbar Hotel, maybe a year? And he says, you know something? He says, I look up here and there's about 150 of those goddamn windmills that they flattened the whole top of these goddamn mountains off.
Yeah.
And you know something? They're worried about a couple little fir trees in front of my house? I don't think so. Let them come and have fun with me. Chad, you just chain me to the wall. So, yeah, that's something else. I mean, they want to go to Greenville and throw up all these windmills and stuff and have nothing about that, but they've got these lurk people coming around all the camps, and if they see anything or a fresh cut tree or something, you know, off to jail you go.
Well, amen. Amen. Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know, these liberals, they're taking over slow but sure, but God damn it, we're hanging on to it.
Keep your hands on the reins.
Keep a good grip.
You got it.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Time.
All right.
What's that?
I gotta just shift the gears here a bit. I happen to think of we get a lot of deer hits down in southern Maine.
Mm-hmm.
The wildlife, you know, because again, it's a lot of areas now shotguns only or no hunting at all.
Yeah.
So, the deer herd down there is flourishing, believe me. But we had a fella, 91-year-old gentleman, come into our shop, and he had a friend of his, okay, with a pickup. And he came in for an estimate, and he had a Volkswagen there, convertible, and hit a deer. So he's in the office, and he goes, I got a problem. He says, I need help, you know, loading my deer up. So we're like, all right, you know, where are you? You know, we'll give you a hand. This is the first time I've ever seen this, okay? He insisted. He's 91 years old. I'm going to argue with the guy, but he took this Volkswagen, put the top down, and had us load this dead deer in the back of his Volkswagen Beetle, 91 years old. And the thing was kind of had rigor mortis. Sticking. We should have got a picture of it. He was gone before we could get it, I'm telling you. Only still, in Maine.
It's still good meat, man.
Oh, yeah. He was not going to have it. That deer's going home with him.
Well, no. And I was thinking, you just opened up a new place here in Bangor.
Yes. Well, you actually, Bob Glidden, as folks know up here, was an icon.
Yes.
In this area. And he passed away last summer there. And so we asked the family if it was okay. We'd bought it over a year ago, but they said it was fine that we changed the name, you know, to Moody's. We weren't going on with Bob living and all. And He was just a wonderful human being. I got to know Bob. One of the things he told me, he was 96. And I said to Bob, I said, you know, what's the secret, Bob? And he goes, well, he says, I tell everybody this, they won't believe me. Every night before he went to bed, he'd take some WD-40 and he'd spray it on his knees. His knees bothered him, something awful. He'd rub that in on his WD-40. He said, he said, nobody will listen to me.
And as you're going through the building, look for that magic wand, will you?
We have that.
We do. Okay.
He's a remarkable guy. So it's an honor to bear, you know, the Moody's flag and the former Glidden's operations. And we believe me, we know the heritage there.
Well, thank you, Sean Moody, for coming up and spending some time with us tonight.
It's an honor to be here, Jim.
We enjoyed
it. Thank you, Norm and Jim.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
And before we head out, I just want to remind everybody, next weekend, tune in for Matt Dunlap, as he'll be hosting next Sunday, Maine Outdoors. And we will have a variety of hosts for March. Paul Reynolds has done up the hosting schedule for March. Matt Dunlap, Bob Mercer, myself, he's going to have me back, Aaron Merrill, Bob Lehman, and Sergeant John McDonald from the Maine Warden Service. You'll hear them all in March right here on Maine Outdoors.